to God through the means of grace that God has provided us. And tonight, we will look at how to pursue God through service. So before we begin, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, truly nothing is incomparable to your mercy. Father, we thank you for today, that you preserve us today. We thank you for the word that we heard this morning from our Pastor Tim. We thank you that you use feeble and weak men for the edification of your saints. And tonight, Father, as we're going to look into how to serve you, Father, may everything that may everything you do so that tonight we come to know Christ, retain the truth, and by grace live it out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think it is very good for each one of us to have a Bible in front of you. So if any of you need a Bible, I think Tushara in the back will be happy to run a Bible over to you. Okay? Now, I remember some years back, this is when I was in Indonesia, I heard a story about a man who lived in a very remote village in Indonesia. Now, this is something from the 1970s. This man owned some land and, you know, the land produced some harvest. He is able to sell some of the harvest for some profits and have some money. Having been living in this remote village for all his life, he never been to a big city before. So, well, he has some money, right? He wants to see what the city looked like. So he went to the city. Now, the sight and sound of the city is certainly, you know, interesting to him. Well, he found it a bit too loud. But there's one thing in the city that he found, that he's discovered, that he found amazed, impressed. He found a box that was able to keep food fresh. A box like that, he doesn't have it in his village. So with hardship, he tracked the 2 days that he needed to take that refrigerator back to his village. Now, when he put it back to his village, he discovered to his horror, it doesn't work. He's wondering why. Well, because his village don't have electricity yet. Okay, so the refrigerator sit there useless. Okay, now our serving is a lot like that refrigerator. The fridge, unless it is powered by electricity, it is useless. You know, you cannot keep food fresh. Our serving, unless it is motivated by grace and the pursuit of God, it is useless and self-serving. So let's look into the scripture. I will ask you to turn to Matthew 20. Matthew 20, and I will read from verse 20 to 28. I will give a moment. So Matthew 20, verse 20 to 28. Now this is what God has written through Apostle Matthew. Then the mothers of the son of Zebedee came up to him with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked him for something. And he said to her, "What do you want?" She said to him, "Say that these two sons of mine are to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom." Jesus answered, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink?" They said to him, "We are able." He said to them, "You will drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." And when the 10 heard it, they were indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus called them to him and said, You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever will be great among you must be your servant. And whoever will be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is the word of God. Now, I believe this text will help us understand how can we pursue God through serving. There will be three areas in which we will look based upon this verse. Now, first I will attempt to define what is biblically meant by serving. Secondly, we will look at what empower us to serve. Now, lastly, we will look at how do we serve. Okay? So let's take a look at what is serving. Now, when you hear the word serve, what do you usually think about? What kind of image usually come up to your mind? Usually when we associate serving by carrying out a certain task, performing a certain duties for another person, right? Now, the closest thing that we have is that when we go to a restaurant, now we have a relationship with a certain person that came to our table and then basically take the order for our food and then take our ordered food back. After we pay the bill, our relationship ends. That is mostly what we understand by server. But I think in order to understand this text, as the Apostle Matthew intended it, we need to understand the way how the Jewish and the Gentiles audience during that time understand it. Now, if we take a look at the definitions to serve, it means that to take care of, to provide for, to help another, or to comply with the command of another, waiting on another. Now, take a look at the word slave that was mentioned here. Slave is a person that is held in bond or servitude of another person. Basically, the slave is the property of another person, of the master. Let us take a look at verse 26 and 27 again. Now, this is Jesus admonishing his follower that those who would follow him, their greatness will be measured by their service. He uses two words here to describe the identity of the follower. The word servant and the word slave. Now, this came as a response when John and James, through their mother, came to Jesus, asked for a position of prominence when the kingdom come. After Jesus denied their request, well, all the ten is feeling indignant because John and James came up to them. Well, why? Maybe because how come they think about it first? Not me. So, Jesus denied their request and called all his disciples to himself. In verse 25, he said that, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. From this text, we understand that the way how the world generally view greatness is through the power you hold over someone. Supremacy and authority is distinguished by the degree of power that one holds over the others. That is why there are rank and then there are privileges. Those of the lower rank are expected to serve those who are of the higher ranking. It was true during Jesus' time. It still is true now. Throughout ages, people have sought for positions of dominion, either through conquering, or right now, as we call it, climbing the corporate ladder. Now, the attitude and manner toward those who are in a lowly position are often indifference and demeaning. This is just a fact of life. That is why when Jesus called his followers to be servants, to be slaves, this is a very radical thing and stand in great contrast to what is normal. The word servant and slave here are used interchangeably. Okay? It refers to the same thing. Now, in general, the Greek or the Jews, they usually don't think very much of their servant. Now, to be someone's slave is meaning by basically taking a lowly position to see someone who you serve to be better than you. Now, against the backdrop of Jewish occupancy, they have been preoccupied. This nation has been occupied by Babylon and then by the Greek, by the Romans. They surely understand the hardship of being a slave, and understand that if you are being a slave, then there's a certain discontentment in your heart. So, again, it must be surprising for the disciples who are waiting upon God's kingdom to hear that being a servant and a slave is what is expected for those who would follow Christ. Taking on an identity of humility, regarding others as better than yourself and yourself as lower, an identity that is considered to be the lowest in society. The thing is, if we have been called by God into His kingdom, by His work, and saved by His blood, then we are all His servant by default. There are none of us that is better than the others. Three chapters later in Matthew 23, verse 8 to 10, this is what Jesus said. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. And call no man your father on earth, for you have one father who is in heaven. Neither be called instructor, for you have one instructor, the Christ. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. This is our identity. Servant, slave, this is who we really are. We don't really merit anything for our works. In saving us, God owes us nothing. Instead, we owe Him everything, our lives, our service, our loyalty. Because all of us are saved by grace, there is no place for pride and self-seeking in the kingdom of God. According to Scripture, instead, we are called to love God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, with our strength, and to do what? To love one another. The action that we show love to another, that action is what is called service. Love is not shown by just having an affection for another, but also in action. Serving someone is the evidence that we love that person. None demonstrate this better than our Lord Jesus. He is the ultimate example of what it means to love someone by serving them. So, what empowers us to serve then? I will give you 2 points. Christ's examples and the gospel. Let's take a look at Christ's example. Let's take a look at verse 28. Let's go back to verse 28. We see Jesus said, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many." The culmination of Jesus' statement about greatness in the kingdom of God is reflected in this verse. He points His hearers to Himself as the ultimate example of servant-slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. Now understand, considering the status and identity of who Jesus is, this is a very scandalous statement. The glory and the majesty of God that Isaiah see in chapter 6, and we know in John 12:41, this God is Jesus. The one that Isaiah see is Jesus. The glory and majesty of God in Isaiah 6 is the same Jesus as the suffering servant in Isaiah 52 and 53. Jesus humbled Himself, taking on the form of a servant and obedient to His Father, even to the point of death. Jesus exemplified what it means by loving God, by serving His Father, and loving us by giving up His life as our ransom. This is the element of humility in serving. If the one who is the ruler of the universe humbled Himself and served His creation, ought not His own people serve each other? and not pursue eminence over the other. Another example is in John 13. The night before he was betrayed, Jesus and his disciples were having a meal. After he stands up, laid aside his garment, strapped a towel to his side, filled a basin full with water, and started to wash each of his disciples' feet and drying them up with a towel. Is there any among us greater than Jesus? None of us can claim to be greater than Jesus, then since he has done the most menial task that is reserved for slave and servant, do we dare to regard any task of serving as beneath us? Christ is our example. But more than that, he's not just an example to follow as, you know, the ultimate humanistic ideal. We follow his example because we love and adore him. The evidence of our love for the one who first showed us love and died for our sin is through our serving. By taking the attitude of a servant and slave and humbly serve one another. The second thing that empowers us to serve is the gospel. Kids, what is the gospel? Grace, yeah. Can you say it again? Christ died for our sin and was raised. Let me ask you. Did anybody force Jesus to go to the cross against his will? No? How about this? Can anybody force Jesus to go to the cross against his will? No. Did Jesus go willingly? Did he willingly obey and for the joy that is set before him endure the cross? Because of what Christ has done in love through his selfless death on the cross, we are free from serving our sins and selfish desire to serve him. Before we knew God, we lived in darkness, catering to every our sinful desires. We hated God, and we show it by the way how we live. Justly, God's wrath abides upon us. But instead of wrath, what has God given us? Mercy and grace through his Son, Jesus Christ. Our sins that's just deserving of God's wrath has been paid for by him. On the third day, he was raised to life for our justification. For those who repented of their sin and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no more guilt, no more fear, no more seeking the approval and affirmation of men. We are set free from all of this. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ that set us free. In that freedom, we are called to serve one another in love. The gospel, therefore, empowers us to serve and love one another in a genuine, unconditional way and not expecting to receive something back for our service. Through the gospel, we are motivated to serve in grace and love. Why? Because we have been served in grace and love by Jesus. Through the gospel, serving our brothers and sisters, it cultivates our love for them, especially when we are called to love and to serve those who are not easy to be served. Through serving, we learn to love our brother and sister, not based on what they can do for us, but based on the gospel truth. Loving them based on what Christ has done for all his redeemed. Our brother and sister are fellow participants in the glories of the gospel. Through the gospel-empowered serving, we trust and take pleasure in God's ongoing work in our brother and sister, with continual spiritual growth and ultimate glorification in view. So,
Now we got to ask ourselves, how then do we serve?
Well, how we serve by mortifying our sin. We need the Holy Spirit to mortify our sin so we can genuinely serve. We need to die to ourselves, to our ambition, to our comforts, to our idols, preferences, so we can genuinely serve. Second way we serve is by seeking humility. Josh was just talking about it earlier. Serving involves humility. It is humbling to take on the roles of a servant and slave. As a servant and slave, we regard others as better than ourselves. This is not talking about being inferior to others, because our status in front of God is the same based on what Christ has done for us. But taking on the role of a servant and slave means humbling yourself and seeking the good of others. Basically saying, let me serve my brother and sister so they might be edified. Acting in humility is nothing more than acting in truth of who we really are. Through serving, we learn to act in truth of who we really are. We are nothing more, basically just a humble servant. We are just a humble servant of the Lord who saved us from wrath by His grace. We got nothing to boast about. Thirdly, how do we serve? By constantly reminding ourselves of the gospel. What do we deserve? Wrath. What has we been given? Mercy, grace, forgiveness through Jesus Christ. The gospel reminds us to die to ourselves and to believe on the Lord. As I serve, I'm reminded of Christ and the gospel, therefore I love Him more. As I serve, I'm enacting what Christ did for me. If service seems hard, I need to remember the gospel. By not serving, I'm showing why Christ had to die. By repenting and asking for forgiveness for my lack of service, I seek God. By freely serving another, I'm portraying in a small way the ultimate serving of Christ and exalting Him. Remember the useless refrigerator in the beginning? Now, what happened if you put fish or fruits inside that refrigerator? What would happen in about 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or even just a couple days? Now, ever seen a rotten food before? Ever seen something like a fish with something crawling all over it? Now, in order for that refrigerator to be useful, it has to be brought to life by electricity. Otherwise, any food that is put in there will be stink and rot. In the same way, we have to be brought to life by God. In order for us to be brought to life and to pursue God through serving one another, we first have to submit ourselves to be served by Jesus. To be served also requires humility. We have to humble and admit our transgression, our need for forgiveness. We need forgiveness for our sins, our pride, weaknesses, and transgression against God. Jesus came, paid our ransom through His death. On the cross, our forgiveness can be found there. Unless we humble ourselves and submit ourselves to be served by Him, we have no part in His kingdom, and all our efforts and serving are nothing more than an attempt of gaining merits and as useless as the stinky rotten food inside that refrigerator without life, without electricity. Therefore, submit yourself to be served by Him. Even if today you have passed many seasons of being a Christian, we often fail. We often grumble. We often stressed out. Come back again and to be served by Him. As long as we are in this world, we never outgrow our need for cleansing. God is so good that He provides all this through His Son, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is the conclusion of my sermon, and I'm very happy to take some questions. And if I don't know the answer, I will defer to my elder often.